Kayla's hair, I got to tell you, she didn't believe the compliments we were giving her.
What was the first thing I noticed, obviously, when somebody...
I didn't even look up. I was writing, I'm like, hello, Kayla, like at my desk, like I'm Ebenezer Scrooge, and I didn't even look up.
Yeah, when somebody changes their hair from what you're used to, even if you try to keep it proper in the workplace, oh, we don't want HR having anything to say about my commentary on someone's appearance... There's no way that you can't blurt it out. Oh, you have new hair today. Your hair today is different from the hair it normally is, and I have to comment on it.
But doesn't a woman want you to notice her hair?
Kenny, what year are you talking about? What is
my
this?
Wife
is
always,
this Mad
oh,
Men?
No. Liz always wants me to notice her hair. Absolutely. And I know I notice hair for whatever reason, color and stuff. Like, oh, did you get your hair color?
Mm-hmm. And You're good about that.
I've been
bad about that in the past. And when you don't notice your significant other,
yeah,
when you don't notice that they just dropped anywhere from $150 to $300 on their hair.
North.
Goodbye.
But I've had coworkers, I'd be like, oh, did you get your hair colored? Did you get it cut? And like, it looks like they took an inch off. And I've had coworkers go, my own husband didn't even notice. And I go, I just noticed hair. And I felt bad because I looked up, Kayla has bangs now, which is all the rage for the young kids. Kayla is younger than us. And Kayla, you look wonderful. You're way younger than Tone, so I don't even say a little younger than Tone. Tone's five years older than me. Yeah, he's 5 years older than me.
That's okay.
Yeah. So,
at least he looked at me when he came in the building.
I was busy.
You
I'm
couldn't
writing
exchange
things down.
A glance?
I'm working.
Come on, Kenny. Yeah.
Getting
respect.
Ready for the show. I had yesterday off.
People.
I had yesterday off, so I had to pound all the information into my skull yesterday. I had Lima fighting with people online about LeBron. We're already going to do another hair segment later on because I got Matt Corrali and Joey in the other room. They look like one of the guys that you see at the beginning of the Cheers episodes. Like that's what that. So we're gonna go to a different level here today, folks. I saw you got me into your replies last night. We'll talk about the Guardians are dying, so I mean we can talk about them anytime.
I was definitely
we're in sports hospice with them right now.
I was definitely drawing them in last night. I was like, you know what? A lot of people are trying to have these big, bold. We don't want you, LeBron. Cleveland is not a LeBron town anymore.
I love what you did.
And so it was just kind of easy to put that bait on there.
I noticed a lot of people who call him LeBoob were also calling you some very vile words.
Oh, were they? I actually didn't see many.
Because I woke up, I go, what did he do?
I saw a lot of them at first. And when they started coming in, I'm like, all right, I'm going to make a mental note of that one. That's a bad argument. Okay, that's a terrible argument. You're just a racist. I'm just going one by one.
It's the internet.
Yeah, you're going to find that anywhere.
You know.
And I'm just going one by one. And you got to remember, here's the thing that maybe people just don't have the attention span or we've been doing this too long now. They don't realize how often we've been on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Where we've been accused of being LeBron haters. So I guess if you do this long enough,
any day.
you're gonna show up on either end of it. Like, obviously, the first time LeBron left, I probably hated him more than anybody in my life. And it was so ridiculous. Like, it absolutely controlled my emotions and was the most important. I remember, I'm a single guy in Syracuse, New York. When he left the first time, that was all I had. It wasn't like the football team was good. I think Eric Mangini was it was so long ago. Nothing was going well. Nothing was going well. I think even the Guardians, the Indians, were kind of irrelevant at that time. When he left that first time, I was just like, what do I have? What do I have left in my life? I'm living in some foreign town that I don't really want to be in anymore. I've got nothing. My team was on national television every game, and now I got nothing. So you can understand, I hated him with every fiber of my being. Then he comes back, and it was the most immediate forgiveness of all time. As devastating as him leaving, I was like, who cares? He's back. We're going to win championships. It's not one. We're going to win many. And then he left the second time, and I'm like, yeah, it kind of seemed like the roadmap was here. He was going to try to go to L.A. and do the L.A. stuff and take his status to billionaire status.
He did it on like a Sunday at 7 o'clock, and then you and I did the Monday morning show afterwards.
It was weird. It was very weird to talk about because he had done it.
But he had come through
on his promise to win a championship.
And there were a lot of fans. I remember at the time, I think that in the years 2018 at the time, So I think like some people, they were just kind of like, but now that he doesn't play for the Cavs, he didn't play for the Cavs anymore. Like the gloves came off with some folks. And we've had some wild calls about LeBron ever since. And that's a long time ago now. But I was one of the guys, and I've been a fan of LeBron. I am a fan of LeBron. I think much to people's either surprise or chagrin because of whatever cubbyhole they put us in, whatever. I'm a big fan of LeBron, and I've always been, though, as a fan of LeBron ever since he left, like, you know what? It's time. It's ended, and it's time we all move on. It's time we all just go on to a different level. But on Monday, was it Monday we got into it a little bit? Or was it last week?
I think last week.
Okay, because he was, apparently he put some on Instagram, and he's wearing a welcome home hat, and everything LeBron does has some sort of weird mystic meaning. I mean, I think the guy learned about the Bilderberg group when he was a kid, and ever since then, everything has to have some weird meaning, and everything is, he might have saw Eyes Wide Shut and decided that everything has some weird ulterior motive.
And he always wants to drive attention. Yes. Like, he's like, I'm still really good at basketball. Yes. You should be talking about me.
And I know he's golfing at where Portage Lakes, people said, which you reminded me. I did not even remember we had once been there.
We did a whole show there.
We did a show with Jimmy there at Portage Lakes, which it was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And I'm going, wasn't that on the east side or something? I go, no, that was Portage Lakes. You were right. We went there. And so he's golfing, allegedly. He's golfing at the Portage Lakes yesterday. It's weird because I was golfing yesterday. I'll tell you more about that later on. And well, I was walking around the course. He's golfing. He's wearing a welcome home hat. People are drawing umpteen conclusions. This is the same day that LA goes out and gets DeAndre Ayton, however you want to say it, which is not necessarily a winning move. Would you say? Is it a winning move to you? I don't.
They are not built like a contender whatsoever.
Yeah.
Despite the fact they have Luka.
I mean, DeAndre Ayton has seemed to be interested in anything else but basketball over these last how many years. But they got Luka, you're right. And you did it. You went and you got the trash can and you got the great big mallet and you started banging it around, walking around. And you got everybody out of their house to come take a look at you and give the responses. While I have been a person who said, it's time to move on. Okay, but two straight bounces in the second round and really 3 years of coming up shorter than what you thought you were going to be has taken its toll on me. And I also look at where the future is. I think we have two more years of this left. Yeah, this whole, and I saw your responses. I'll let you bring up the responses, and you can go ahead and read them off if you want to. And you can read them off, and I'll let you go first. And I'll give my thought on some of the responses that you had out there. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. That's 6:11 and 16 seconds for those scoring at home. What do you got over there to the people who say they do not want LeBron back? That you can read on the air. Some were absolutely cussing you out and all the other stuff.
The first thing is, I don't think people understand how good he still is. Now, that's crazy to think about because it's LeBron James. He's going to go down in history as either the best or the second best player to have ever played this game. He's going to have every record. And last year, because they got knocked out of the playoffs, because they had Luka on the team, people are assuming he's not good. It's like, holy cow, you clearly haven't been paying attention, and I guess maybe why would you? He was staggeringly good still, still doing so many things well. And I'm trying to think, like, what has dropped off from his game? And the only thing I could really point to was the consistent throughout an entire game, the effort level. Like, he's obviously, he cares about making sure he's going to be around towards the end of the season. And so you're not going to get the LeBron James that we had in the first or second iteration.
Yeah.
But the LeBron right now in a playoff series, when we question which guys actually have another level to their game, like, LeBron is still a top 10 player in the league. That's crazy to think about, but he is. So that's the first thing. The second thing that kept coming up, and I was just so shocked when I kept seeing this as a response, which is, you want to blow up the future of the Cavaliers? Somebody said they had a five-year window with all these guys. No. You want to blow that up for 1 year of LeBron? No. And I'm like, what planet are you living on that you think any team has a five-year window in today's game? The Boston Celtics just evaporated overnight. because of one injury and because of the cap. You don't have 5 years. You're lucky to have a year with your current setup in this league. Not to mention Donovan Mitchell has been on fumes 2 second seasons in the second round. The second round. There are two more rounds after that.
Yeah.
If Donovan Mitchell is on fumes 2 rounds in, what do you think is going to happen 2 years from now?
Yeah.
Like, guys, your window is right now. You do not have a 5-year window.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're telling me, oh, well, no, just it'll be Darius's team and however many. Okay, Darius can't even be the second or third best player on a team that can't get out of the second round. What are you talking about? So that is the stuff I do not understand. And the other one is he's going to bring drama. He's going to bring this. He's going to bring that. Yeah, he did all that in 2016. We won a championship. Like, that stuff doesn't matter. Once you get into the playoffs, the drama stuff, like, yeah, you're going to have to hear about stuff in the regular season. Sure. Wouldn't you say it was worth it the last time we had him? Because
I write down the drama.
Oh, yeah, we won a championship.
I write down the drama.
Like, who cares about whether there's drama or not?
Mm-hmm. All right, those are the first two. What you said is true. And I'm giving them a 2-year window. If it's a 2-year window and I only expect him to play 1 or 2 more years, I don't understand the issue. I think that at the end of the next year, if they have not got to the point that they need to get to, I think that there will be player options exercised, and I think Donovan Mitchell will look for a new place to play. These things change very quickly. You mentioned the Celtics. I think that, yes, he does. He's a New York guy. I think the Nets are very different from the Knicks, but I think that the Knicks could be a different organization in 2 years. You know, they went through a bunch of different hiring processes to bring in Mike Brown, who is a good basketball coach, a good, solid coach. So we'll see what they do. That helps our situation, but we have to make sure that we're in the proper spot to really compete. If we don't compete, there will be other options for a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who's obsessed, underline the term obsessed, with winning an NBA Finals. So if you have a guy like LeBron, who has 1 to 2 more years left, that changes things. The bringing the drama thing. He absolutely brings drama. The reason why we're talking about it today is because he was wearing a welcome home hat playing golf in the local area, and he knows better than anybody, as well as anybody, that anything he does is going to get people talking. And it's on the same day the Lakers go out and make just kind of this blasé move. So there seems to be a back and forth of power between LeBron and the LA Lakers. And if we can benefit from that, I think a lot of people want to benefit from that. Some of the other responses I saw to you, again, you either can't repeat them on the air, or they were basically those type of arguments that you had just put out there. Unrealistic ones. Ones that he's too old and he's slow. He is not slow. He is not rickety. He is old. He's 40. That cannot change. But he is not slow. He is not rickety. He is not Gary Payton at the end of his career or any one of these other guys. And frankly, you know, some of the stuff that's been thrown out there, and I didn't get a chance to respond to this. I know Bill Ryder said, well, if he really wants to win, he should have taken a pay cut. Players like LeBron can't do that. A player like LeBron has to take the max. One, because he's already taken a pay cut. Two, because if you're a guy with that edge and you take pay cuts to ring chase, then you're buying into your own mortality. Once LeBron buys into his own mortality, yes, he will probably fall off a cliff. You can't do that. He can't allow himself to do that. And he still, because the league cannot develop any other stars the way they've developed LeBron over the last how many years, and LeBron basically developed himself as a star. He was almost undeniable. The league is not ready to hand it off to anybody else, it seems. So, hey, I'll hear all the arguments, because I made those arguments back in the day. The drama. Okay, I like this team more. It was easier. That team was great. They won a championship, for crying out loud. So they obviously are put in a separate category. It's fun during the regular season. Yeah. It's drama-free during the regular season. But you know what? The last 3 years have caused me a lot of anguish, a lot of pain, a lot of frustration, a lot of questions about certain guys and whether or not they're bought all in about it. And I think a lot of Cavs fans feel the same way.
And, ready, and I'm they're telling ready for you right prime, now. Whether they're yes, ready for prime time.
With this group and how they are, I got one guy who I know is ready for prime time. I got another guy who I am begging to be ready for prime time. And I do think he took a step towards that when he played on a bum, severely injured ankle during the series against the Indiana Pacers. And I hope that that shows great things for what he's willing to do to try to bring this team along, because he is the special key in Evan Mobley. One, I think he's too talented, but also too small to really trade, even though I have something else to say with what I heard about what LeBron and them were saying about him earlier this week. I got another guy who I think a lot of us have lost faith in the postseason. And maybe we just like him because he's a really nice guy. And that's okay. You can like a guy because he's a really nice guy. But you don't count on him. And you guys know you can count on LeBron in those moments. I don't need him for January 11th. You need him for why we're so frustrated right now. And so that is why whatever drama is there, and there will be, because if this year in the end of it, the next year will be, and he will announce it, and then you will have an every night retirement, and it will be bizarre because he will go to all these other arenas and they will give him gifts because he will do that for the league so he can be an owner someday. They'll go around and they will have a great big tour and everybody will make a lot of money and he'll get these gifts from all these places, but also you're going to be trying to compete for a championship. But because of how it ended this year and last year and especially the year before that, got 3 years like that, I'm ready to commit to that again. Even though I don't know how you make the money make sense. 216, go ahead.
Lakers, by the way, championship odds, they are lower than the Orlando Magic.
But would you want LeBron back after all this? It's a question that a lot of people are asking, a question a lot of people are answering, whether or not we want to go around for a third time. This would definitely have a expiration date on it. Would probably be at the end of this coming year or the year after that. Probably the year after that. I mean, if he hasn't declared it now, he probably won't declare it until the year after that. As always, you can listen to this show or all of our and all of our local shows right here on The Fan, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, or take The Fan wherever you go. If you're not working today and you're on your way to, say, the beach or something like that, listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeart, or TuneIn apps. Go ahead and listen to it all, brother. Go ahead and get it. It's going to be great. 216-474-0092. Bobby Marks going to join us 7:20 this morning, ESPN. Former assistant general manager going to be talking to us about, okay, are there possibilities that they could do? Because the money would have to work out. You'd have to get rid of a lot of players on your roster to do that. And this is where, can I play devil's advocate for a second? Because you didn't have to bring me across the aisle. I saw what happened in the Pacers series, what happened last year, what happened the year before that. And I think we're headed to a point of no return, especially with somebody else on this roster. I'm going to get to that at 7:02 this morning. I'm open to it. But, you know, when you say, Anthony, that fit matters more than it's mattered in quite some time in the NBA. Listen, I know you're talking about LeBron James here. You're not talking about, you know, any run-of-the-mill basketball player, any run-of-the-mill all-star for that matter. But when you spend time with me over the recent weeks and now months talking about fit and why to move this guy or why to move Darius Garland, let's call it what it is, why to move him, you know, that it kind of smacks to a lot of people. Okay, are we just desperate? Is that it? Because it is LeBron, I understand that. But if I lose Hunter and I lose Jared Allen and I lose Darius Garland, well, then there's a lot more that I have to put on LeBron and I am looking for fit. And plus, I've just brought in guys that I don't know if they're really going to be able to play for us this year. And Larry Nance Jr., as well as who am I? Come on.
Ball.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball. Good God. Thank you. I just brought in guys, so I don't know if they're going to be able to play for us this year. So you will have to make it fit, Tone. And I know it's LeBron, but it is not LeBron at the peak of his powers. Like, I admit he's old, and I think that he's still explosive, and I think he's still fast and great, but I think that something bad can happen at any time, and we will never see him like that ever again.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. Just look at Darius Garland going down with a toe injury that stymied him.
Understood.
So, you're right. I mean, that's the issue right now in the NBA all over the place. Every team, just one injury away. I mean, the Pacers are missing Halliburton all year and blew up their team. Tatum from Boston, they end up blowing up their team. So it is that fickle. Joel Embiid every single year for Philly. I mean, if that guy was ever healthy in the playoffs, I'd pick Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But he's not. So the injuries are a huge part of it. You mentioned desperation. Like, I look at what Milwaukee just did as total desperation, where they stretched Dame Lillard's contract out over all those years, and to bring in, they did it so they could bring in Miles Turner. okay? And Miles had himself a great playoff run until his shot, you know, totally evaporated in the finals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can make the argument that Miles Turner outplayed our bigs in that series. But that was a move of desperation. Now they're going to have $25 million every year of dead cap, basically, without Dame Lillard on the team, just so they could try to figure out a way to keep Giannis. Think about what our act of desperation is. Our act of desperation is bringing in maybe the best basketball player that ever lived, who I'm looking at, man, not just his numbers, but just his game.
Again, devil's
advocate.
There
hasn't been a lot of drop-off there.
It's not even devil's advocate. I just want to make sure we all know what we're getting into here. It's still, you're saying our act of desperation isn't as desperate as Milwaukee. Well, I still don't want to be desperate, though, if I want to make this move. Like, I want to know what the insurance is. Like, LeBron is the best player of the generation and arguably the greatest of all time. We know where you and I stand on that. But I don't want to use Milwaukee being really, really, really crazy to hold on to their player as a reason for us to go out and get. I just want to look at our situation. Like, I don't take Milwaukee very seriously regardless. There are teams that I take serious to get in our way right now, and then there's teams I would take seriously depending on what move we make. I want to focus on them. So I want to look at the Cavs, and my reasoning for it is, guys, look at the last 3 years. You know damn well it would not go that way over the last 3 years. I understand people keep giving us Minnesota and what happened in the first round there, because there were a lot of people who were saying that this Laker team was going to go to the NBA Finals, and they look silly. And they're on different networks, and they get paid a hell of a lot of money to do it.
They had Luka, who had just been to the NBA Finals, and they had LeBron.
Now, Luka is a transcendent basketball player in so many ways, as long as he takes himself seriously. I think Donovan, I think Evan, I think LeBron, with that cast around them, I don't know who stands in their way in the East. You may get back to the NBA Finals, and it could be Oklahoma City again. It could be. You can go to the NBA Finals. It might be Minnesota again some way. But I think that if you put this team in the East with these three guys, the East is yours. It's your conference, and we are going right back to those 4 years of checking our watches and checking the calendar and when we go to the NBA Finals again, at least for this year. And I would expect the 2026-27 season.
So I hear everything you're saying, but the taking them seriously part, do you think the other teams in the Eastern Conference, do you think they take us more seriously with
Darius with LeBron
and Jared Allen, or with LeBron?
With LeBron.
What would you do if you were in New York, if you were in Atlanta? Because I think Atlanta has now stepped up. If you're in Orlando, would you rather see the Cavs with Darius, Jared Allen, what, DeAndre Hunter or Max?
You know the answer. You know the answer.
Or would it be LeBron?
You would rather see him with the first part,
not
with LeBron.
I don't think they take us seriously. You know, we had just yesterday, we had played audio from Zach Lowe, who's like, yeah, I picked the Cavs. Cavs are the best team in the East. He goes, but is anybody scared of the Cavs? Like, he's like, no, nobody's scared of the Cavs. They've been a no-show in the playoffs for four consecutive years.
They have the thought that you can push us around. The identity is that you could push us around, we will fold, and we will lose.
By the way, it's not only the thought of national media or people who are trying.
That's players.
It's our own coach and our own GM said it. Yeah. They literally said, we've got to gain some mental toughness. But that's not a team of rookies. This is year three of this core, and year four for some of them, or year five for some of them. And you're hearing that from your coach. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and assume, as is, this team is once again going to be mentally weak next year. I hate to do that because they're so much fun in the regular season. They were so awesome. I thought they were special. I was picking them to get to the NBA Finals, especially once Boston went down.
Yep.
And I was wrong. I should not have abandoned my philosophies about basketball to do it, but I got swept up in the emotion of this team. I'm probably not going to be there next year.
Well, when they win 64 games, you can't help but question yourself about what you've thought. There was plenty of regular season, quote-unquote, evidence to think something different by the time the postseason came around.
Yeah, so that's all I'm saying is I've just seen that team, and I don't know what would make me think differently a year from now. They're not going to have a better regular season. I mean, to me, they've already gotten worse as a regular season team because Ty Jerome was just insanely good last year.
Here comes Darius in Cleveland. You're first up on the fan. Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Are y'all crazy? Why would you bring him back here?
Or wouldn't I?
He has nothing to give. He's not going to defend nothing. He's going to regulate everybody to be a spot-up shooter. He's going to drive and kick.
That's not what he did last year. You didn't watch the Lakers. That's not what he did at all. He didn't have the ball in his hands the entire time.
And you're talking about the playoffs and the Cavs. He hasn't been good in the playoffs. He's disappeared every game. He fizzles out. The guy's on a decline. Let him right in LA. Do not bring him back here with him and that stupid podcast. No, we don't need that drama, that
fizzled
trouble.
Out at 38-10-4 against Minnesota in a game last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, like,
that's an interesting fizzle. You realize Darius Garland has never scored more than 15 points in a second. Hold on, Darius. Darius, you talked, and now you're going to listen. You realize Darius Garland, you want to talk about fizzling out. Who's fizzled out more than Darius Garland in the playoffs? He's never scored more than 15 points in a second round.
He was injured last year. The Lakers had him up the first
And the year before, would you refresh my memory?
The year before, he still was in the first round losing.
No, we're talking about Darius Garland. Your name's Darius, and we're talking about Darius.
You're talking about Darius Garland?
Yes. Yeah.
So we're comparing Darius Garland and LeBron. That's what you're trying to compare now?
By the way, the year before...
Why would you not make that comparison? Yeah, that's what the trade would be involved.
That's the trade.
LeBron is supposed to be this transcending player that y'all make him out to be.
Darius.
Oh, LeBron.
You know you ain't right. You know you ain't right with this.
The fizzling out LeBron had the year before, when you said he also fizzled out, he averaged 28-9-7 against the Denver Nuggets.
He did not fizzle out, Darius.
That was not a fizzling out.
He got swept.
Yeah. You have other players on a basketball team. Luka sucks too now. Luka sucks.
You're calling these numbers out.
Which conference?
Tell them Mike.
You said he fizzled out.
No.
You weren't right,
Darius.
He was right. I am right.
No, you're not.
He fizzled out,
Darius. Which conference is better?
Have you watched the playoffs this year?
If he fizzled out, what do you say about Darius? What do you say about Jarrett? I hate to say it. What do you say about Evan Mobley? What do you say about any of the Cavs?
For the record, I'm not the one yelling.
Jarrett is definitely a weak player. I give you that. I would not say that he's not. Jarrett is not a strong player for the Cavs at all.
So you want to keep that intact instead of going after LeBron?
No, I don't want Jarrett at all. I want Jarrett gone too. But I don't need LeBron in that podcast and the drama he brings. No, I don't need that. No, because he's going to stunt Evan's growth, number one. He definitely will.
What team do you have? What team do you give a better chance? The team they have right now to get to the NBA Finals or a team with LeBron James?
The same team you got now.
You just lied to yourself. You know it.
How?
You know it.
He hasn't got the second round.
You understand.
4 years, what are you talking
he's
about?
He's playing in the West. I'm talking about playing in the East. You know, if you're watching basketball, and I accuse you of watching basketball, then you know very well the West is a much tougher conference than what the East is.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Name the five top teams in the West.
The five top teams off the top of my head?
By the way, I got one for you, Darius. A hot take. I'm telling you. I think the Clippers could have come out of the Eastern Conference this year, and they couldn't get out of the first round in the West.
Yeah,
I watched the clip. By the way, I saw us play the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard go off, and we had no answer.
Darius. Oklahoma City, okay. Uh-huh. Denver, Minnesota. Uh-huh. I would put the Rockets in there certainly,
and definitely after that.
Yeah. I mean, they just got Kevin Durant, and yes, I'm gonna put the Clippers in there. Yeah, I'm gonna put the top five in there.
Now, maybe the top five for the East.
The Cavs, Orlando.
Maybe Atlanta.
With LeBron James, Darius?
Don't bring him.
You really don't like his podcast that much? You had Kevin Durant on the other day.
It will get dramatic with that podcast if they go on like a losing streak or something like that.
I cannot get over.
Does he do it during the regular season?
I think he kind of... You know what?
I don't know if he does it during the regular season.
I think because Steve Nash joined forces. How about Steve Nash, who was a small point guard, right? Steve Nash and Kevin Durant sitting there criticizing, basically saying, you know, Darius Garland's not good enough because he's slight and everything. And I'm thinking, who is LeBron James' best friend? Oh, yeah, Rich Paul. Who is one of his clients?
That had to be very awkward. I'm gonna leave it here with my thought and why you've brought me across the aisle. Not just because they lost the Pacers in such a horrific fashion. He's saying he's gonna stunt the growth of Evan. I heard that while you guys were arguing with each other.
I heard it.
We've been begging Evan, and I think he took a step this year. He played injured. He played with a serious ankle injury. He played injured. He knew his team needed him. We've been stepping up and asking him to be more dominant. We've been begging him to be more dominant. Who's gonna bring that dominance out of him? The icon of icons is coming back here. to try to win another championship? Is it going to be MFing him in practice to try to get him going? You know damn well what's going to happen. Listen, I understand, but it's not this deal with the devil that we make it out to be. It will be dramatic. We will have things to talk about from podcasts and things like that. But it ain't going to end in the second round. It just won't. I don't want to do this. You guys know I've been a pretty big defender of Darius Garland here for a while, for many years. But I'm hearing some things now that just make me think that we are soon enough reaching the point of no return when it comes to Darius Garland. Let me tell you why. Like, guys on the radio, guys on TV, you can say whatever you want to. Stephen A. Smith, he can say whatever he wants to. You know, we all get into these things, but you start to talk things. When the players start to talk, it becomes something that I think that they speak into existence. And there was a podcast out. Is this LeBron's podcast you're talking about here, Anthony?
Well, Steve Nash and Kevin Durant.
Steve Nash and Kevin Durant, yeah. So we got Steve Nash and Kevin Durant, where this is going to be fairly troubling for a guy like me who really likes Darius Garland. Here's Kevin Durant talking about the value of undersized guards.
6'2 and under guard, yes, is at a premium no more as a starter. Maybe as a backup, yep, but you have to be.
We just talked about this last.
It's gotten compressed.
It has.
Right? It's compressed. Yes. It's at like either Donovan Mitchell, yeah, Drew Holiday, 6'3".
Yeah. You can't get picked on defense. That's the thing, because we play in such the pick on game that they will really, literally, if you can't guard, right, they will bring you up every play. Every 6'1", and you're not a bulldog like a Davion Mitchell, Drew Holiday's on the defensive side, or you're not an offensive flat-out savant like Kyrie, where you can score on dudes 7 feet easily in ISO, then I just can't see it.
That's one of the greats of the generation, Kevin Durant, talking about it. He goes even further, saying that teams could pick on Darius Garland, specifically him, on defense.
He is, and it's like, but the defensive side of the ball is where, you know, people will attack him. Mm-hmm. If you want a chance to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, you are going at Darius Garland most of the time on the defensive side.
Finally, here's Steve Nash questioning the worth of Darius Garland.
Darius Garland, like, he's an amazing basketball player. We don't talk about him as like just amazing, like, because the era, like, if he played in any other era, I think he would have been like, his value would be through the roof. Yeah. Like, he's that skilled, he's water bug, he's got every shot, he can play make. But there's an era where it's like, okay, we also have to help that dude out defensively all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's an example for me because he's such a good basketball player.
Audio, all the audio courtesy of the Mind the Game podcast. I mean, we're saying things that about Darius Garland that is going to stick with people forever. And this is why I think that we are reaching the point of no return with Darius Garland. Like, a couple of years ago, there was accusations, and probably some of it true, of all of us talking the Odell Beckham Jr. trade into existence. I think these guys are speaking this into existence. That Darius Garland, some way, one way or another. But again, I got a former NBA coach, a two-time NBA most valuable player in Steve Nash, wondering what the worth is of Darius Garland. But when you hear that, it's like at some point you got to think, man, I got current players ripping on him, I got former greats ripping on him, and maybe it's not even ripping, maybe it's just true. And I go, at what point do we reach the point of no return where it's like, hey, maybe. Maybe I just need to look at the facts and say maybe a change of scenery might be best for everybody. Because this is the one that callers, you, anybody, I can deal with that when it comes to Darius Garland. When it comes to the guys who are playing the game and some of the greats, guys who have coached the game at any level, to that level, it gives me a bad feeling. Like, what more can he do? He tried to go with a injured toe that needed to have surgery. He tried to do all these things.
And
these
guys are saying, unfairly
yes,
and ripped from people like Stephen A. Smith going on national television to rip him.
And that stuff may be cheap and wrong, but these guys, they know better. They're not being cheap when they're talking about Darius Garland. Kevin Durant and Steve Nash aren't going out of their way to just rip on somebody to be sensational about it. They're saying he's great. They're saying he ain't going to be able to help you get where you need to go. That's got to be as crystal clear to anybody. That, man, the as good as he is, he ain't good enough.
Yeah, I feel, honestly, I feel so bad.
It bothers me. It shakes me. I heard that yesterday. I'm so bothered by it.
The fact that people were questioning his toughness – when it came to like whether or not he would play or not play. Like then you saw him try to play and he clearly was injured. He was wearing these crazy shoes. He was falling down all over the place. It clearly hampered him, that injury, and then he gets surgery afterwards. Now, with that said, I've kind of criticized Darius for other reasons that I don't know that he is somebody once you get into the playoffs when the physicality is allowed to such a level. I mean, did you see Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals? They were fouling off the ball at 90 feet of basket, like mm-hmm. the 90 feet of the court. They were just fouling guys, didn't matter what, and basically they were leaving it up to refs, like, we can't call it all the time. It reminded me of the Pistons at 04. That's what they were doing on every possession. And I just don't think Darius is the type of player that, unfortunately, because of his frame, I think there's nothing he can do. And now he can't even really get stronger because of the fact he's sidelined. You know, what is that going to do with his psyche going into the season? Then he's got guys from Stephen A. Smith to Kevin Durant to LeBron James. Notice LeBron James didn't say anything. He just kind of sat there while his best friend Rich Paul represents Darius Garland. And wasn't like LeBron jumped to his defense. So it has been a rough, rough stretch for Darius.
It is.
Who's due for an extension, by the way.
And I'm as a person who's defended Darius Garland on so many levels, because I think he's good. I do think he's injury prone. He's
an all-NBA player for the first 3 months of the year.
What they're saying isn't unfair. They're saying how great he is, and they're saying that he still can't help you get to where you need to go. And that's why today, and that's why earlier this week or last week, whenever we discussed it, that's why I had to change my tune about LeBron. I know what I've said. I know what I've said about the drama-free regular seasons. I know what I've said about watching these young guys. And I know that I am as tired as anybody because it scares me. The future without him scares me because I have to have an interest in the game. I want people to have a general interest in the game, damn it. And we can't just be LeBron, 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 because eventually Father Time will claim him. And that'll be it. And we'll never have a player like LeBron James play on this team ever again. So once that happens, I got to be able to put together a team. And I thought that this was it. I couldn't believe it. We are seeing a team that's won the second most games in franchise history. This team is together. This team is in the right place. They're in the right mindset. And they still only got to the second round of the playoffs. And these are guys telling you that no matter how good your vibes are, no matter how much the fans love these guys, they are telling you flat out that one of the main cogs on your team can't get you to where you need to go. And I don't know, other than this move, what else you can do. It makes me a desperate man. Because who else am I going to move him for? Guys, I mean, I was having knockdown, drag-out arguments with Anthony 2 months ago over Drew Holiday. Okay, well, if I'm moving Darius Garland in pieces around, who would I rather want? Would I want Drew Holiday at 35 years old, or do I want LeBron James at 40? I'm going to take LeBron James at 40.
Well, I had said...
And everything that comes
Kenny,
with
it. I had said that you're not going to trade Darius for somebody more talented than Darius on paper. That's why guys like Jalen Suggs, Drew Holiday, until the LeBron thing came up, where undoubtedly nobody could deny, like, LeBron is way more talented. He's obviously capable of reaching a different ceiling come playoff time than Darius or even any of the other guys we're talking about. You know, really the only thing you can ding LeBron for right now is that the effort in the regular season. Like, the effort's not going to be there.
It won't
from night to night.
But I don't know if that's a ding, because you expect the second he gets here, I don't think anybody's going to care about the regular season regardless if you make the trade or you don't make the trade.
Well,
if you can
true.
Or can't.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you could win 66 games or 65 games in the regular season and people are just going to go, yeah, what'd you do last season? So they're going to wait. If you make the trade with LeBron, I think once people like pick their jaws up off the floor, then they're just not going to care about the regular season. There will be curiosity, just like we were. I remember where we were the first time he came back during the regular season. We were at a bar in Fairview during a remote watching the first night he came back there. You were there. You, Keith, Dustin, everybody was there to watch this game happen. So there will be curiosity, but once we get past the beginning of the season, the Christmas Day game there, because you'll have a Christmas Day game with LeBron, you probably have one anyway, we will not care until the finals. It'll just be wake me up for the finals. This will be, if you keep this team, it'll just be the postseason. And I think people will go into it waiting for the other shoe to drop instead of where this team's going to go to the finals. Like, I know I sound desperate. I am. I also know that this window of opportunity is ending. As for right now, I believe it's ending in 2 years. It's ending in 2 years. LeBron has 1 or 2 years left. So now I have to strike, or this thing probably is going to get to where it needs to go anyway. So if there's a possibility here, we have to explore it. With all the drama and all the other stuff that comes with it, yes, it's going to be dramatic. We have to explore that.